Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. The realization that a nation has come to an end and the way of life of its people has vanished was less apparent 130 years ago than it sometimes is now in the electronic age of 2007. The death of the Lakota Nation was set in motion at the Battle of the Little Bighorn that took place in July 1876, when approximately 10,000 Lakota met for what turned out to be their victory against the 7th Cavalry of the United States Army, and the day their world ended. In this, the second of a two-part Radio Curious series, recorded on June 29th and broadcast on July 4th and July 11th, 2007, we visit with Joseph M. Marshall III, author of The Day the World Ended at Little Bighorn, A Lakota History. Growing up on the Rosebud Sioux Indian Reservation, where his first language was Lakota, Marshall is a historian and storyteller and author whose work shares the history of his people. The Lakota Nation was made up of the largest known group of North American Native people and encompassed a large portion of the Northern Plains in what is now Montana, Wyoming, North and South Dakota. In this interview with Joseph M. Marshall, we discuss what occurred in July 1876 and began when I asked him to describe the events that led up to the Battle of the Little Bighorn that turned out to be the largest and last gathering of the Lakota people.
Well, the events that led up to the Battle of the Little Bighorn, I would say, in my view, started a couple centuries before, perhaps. For me, it started in the early 1720s when a group of Frenchmen, the French Sieur de La Vérendrye, traveled with a group of his compatriots up the Missouri River, what is now known as the Missouri River, probably from St. Louis, Missouri, all the way up into close to Montana. That's when Europeans first laid eyes on that part of the plains. And from then on, of course, they took the word, a word was sent back. They wrote journals and all kinds of things. And then the second incursion was Lewis and Clark in 1804. And they came up with the express purpose of exploring and establishing an economic trade relationships with the tribes up in that part of the country. Those events opened up that part of the country to the thinking of Euro-Americans that not only was there furs to be traded, but there were all kinds of other possibilities, and that's what really entered the thinking of Euro-Americans. And then, of course, once people started moving west, then they began to look at the land differently than just a place to pass through, that this was a possibly fertile farmland and so forth. So the whole thing started with those two events. And, of course, as more and more people came into the territory, they brought with them their intent to stay. And that led to the conflicts that eventually occurred along the Oregon Trail, which was the major movement from western Missouri across Lakota Territory in northern Nebraska and southeastern Wyoming and on further west. But those were the precursors to the Battle of the Little Bighorn, as far as I'm concerned.
In those precursors, in the clash of culture, how was this incursion of the Euro-Americans seen or explained in the Lakota, among the Lakota people?
I think at first there was not a lot of concern, although there probably was some concern on the part of some individuals, but because there were so few people that they saw, and they came and they left again in the beginning, Lewis and Clark came and then they went back, for example. And just and then a few fur traders came, and then they got their furs and they left, for example. They didn't see a lot of people, just a few groups at a time or individuals at a time, so there probably was not a lot of growing concern. It was only after the Oregon Trail began in the late 1840s and persisted until the late 1860s that there began to be, you know, heightened concern, because those immigrants, the travel of those immigrants across Lakota territory and across the territory of a lot of other tribes as well, eventually led to conflicts between the immigrants and the Indian people. So then there began to be a concern after those kinds of conflicts.
Well, the Oregon Trail, as it went across the prairies and the plains, basically divided the north from the south and kept the Lakota people and other native people in the region from being able to cross that line safely.
Yeah, it certainly was a dividing line. It for a lot of reasons. One of them, several of them were they altered the route of the migratory routes of bison, the bison herds that were in that part of the country. So that had an impact on the lifestyle of the Lakota and other tribes. And there was pollution. They followed the North Platte River essentially from across Nebraska and across Wyoming, which was the southern part of Lakota territory. And they left dead animals, they left household furniture, graves of people who had died along the way. So they were polluting the territory, and so that had an impact as well. And it certainly was a dividing line.
What happened? What were the encounters that, again, led up to the Little Bighorn? And your characterization that the Battle of the Little Bighorn was the day the world ended?
There were small encounters, I think, to begin with, some minor clashes, but then those minor clashes led to the travelers asking for help, for protection from natives or from savages, as they put it. And, of course, the government responded. And one of the things that happened was the 1851 Fort Laramie Treaty Council at Fort Laramie, Wyoming. There's a National Historic Site there in southeastern Wyoming. And the government stepped in with their peace commissioners, and they introduced a couple of concepts that were totally foreign to us. One was they could draw a picture of the land and draw a line on that map and say, this is where your land begins and this is where your land ends. It was maps were not foreign, but the fact that the land ended at a certain spot or our territory ended at a certain spot was totally foreign to us.
And so the concept of ownership.
Exactly. That began to introduce the concept of ownership, and that was totally foreign to us. And so it wasn't so much, it wasn't only the physical clashes, the armed clashes. It was the clash of ideals as well, and a clash of philosophies and the way we looked at things. It began to grow there. And, of course, 17 years later in 1868, with that Treaty Council of Fort Laramie, then there were also definite lines of demarcation, and they told us, well, you can stay here. This is your land. This is where you live, but you can't go outside of it. And so those kinds of ideas began to be really scary.